Today we're doing the sugya of Harada B'Kedusha. The Gemara says on Lamed Daled Amud Beis.
Would you order a new marijuana if you can?
No, what?
I told you
that. Okay. The Gemara talks about Tana Rabbanan Ketzav Kosvan. How do you, quotes of Brisa, how do you write the tefillin? Tefillin Shal Yad Kosva Al Arechad Vim Kosva Barba Oros V'Nichad Bayis Echad Yotza. Tefillin Shal Yad should be on one cloth, and if you do it on four and then you put it in one bias, you are Yotze. We'll get to that on Sunday, what that's all about. And Rabbi Yossi Amarino Tzarek, Rabbi Yossi says not necessary to connect them. So Shal Rosh on four cloth and Shal Yad on one. If you wrote the Shal Yad on four, Rabbi Yehuda says you need to connect them. Rabbi Yossi says you don't need to connect them. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Umodali Rabbi Yehuda Berebi Shim Ein Lo Tefillin Shal Yad V'Yesh Lo Shtei Tefillin Shal Rosh. Here we go. A guy doesn't have a Tefillin Shal Yad, but he's got two Tefillin Shal Rosh. He went to the store, asked the sofer for a pair of Tefillin. Sofer says no problem. He gives him a bag. It looks like it has two pairs of Tefillin. He goes home, opens it up, and there's two Shal Roshes in there. So now what? And he doesn't live anywhere near the store. He can't go easily return it. So what should he do? So says the Gemara, Shetola or alachas mehen umanicha, that on one of them you should put a piece of leather to sort of connect all four parshios together, and then you can use it as a shel yad. So affecting Gemara Moda, hainu pluktayu. What do you mean? That was the machlokas, whether you can connect them and whether you need to connect them or not. So Amarava midvar Rabbi Yossi chazav Rabbi Yehuda. Fact number eighty. Vashalach Rav Chanina Mishme Rav Chananya Mishmei Rabbi Yochanan Tefillah Shal Yad Osnos Shal Rosh VShal Rosh Ein Osnos Shal Yad Lefishein Maridin Mikdusha Chomer Mikdusha Kala. I thought that you're not allowed to turn a Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad because you're not supposed to be morid from a more severe level of kedusha, from a higher level of kedusha, to a lower level of kedusha, and apparently Shal Rosh is on a higher level of kedusha. So what's going on over here? How can you take, when you came home with two Shal Roshes, how can you just make a quick adjustment and turn it into a Shal Yad and wear it? That doesn't seem to work. Lo kasha, haba atikta, haba chadita. That it depends if it's a new one or an old one. What does that mean, depends if it's a new one or an old one? If it's actually been used as a Shal Rosh, then it has Kedusha Shal Rosh. But if it's never actually been used as a Shal Rosh, it's only been written like a Shal Rosh should be written and prepared, like a Shal Rosh should be prepared, but never actually used, then it's no big deal. So then you're allowed to change it into a Shal Yad. Good? So even though you can't turn a Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad, you're allowed to turn a Shal Yad into a Shal Rosh, but even though you can't turn a Shal Rosh into a Shal Yad, where you haven't used it yet, it's okay. And the Gemara explains, the Mandi Amrazman Milsa. If you assume Azmana Milsa that the fact that you prepared it as a Shal Rosh would immediately grant it the full Kedusha of Shal Rosh, it has to be that you made the Kedusha al Tanai. And we have such a concept in Halacha where you can attach a Tanai to Kedusha. They do the Batei Knesios, they want to be able to have Kiddush in Shul and eat in the Shul and speak Sichas Chulin and Lashon Hara and everything else in the Shul. So they make a Tanai in the Shul that, you know, you should be allowed to do all those things in the Shul. And then it doesn't have full Kiddush space of Knesset, okay, but it's a small price to pay to be able to have a little bit of Schnapps and Kugel in the Shul. Yeah.
How we mind here using this one? Using Shekhar Nikshir?
I think for the mitzvah, to actually wear it.
What
does Rashi say? Shekvar nikshuru barosh. Yeah, I think because that's the mitzvah.
But one thing is that we said
let me just, one second. When we refer to kshira, so there's a discussion in poskim, do you have to take out the knot every day and redo the knot in order to be yotzi the mitzvah? Because that's the mitzvah, is mitzvah kshira. So when Rishonim talk about kshira, they often mean just doing the mitzvah. I mean, we think of making the knots as it happens once, until someone borrows your tefillin and the guy's got a massive head or something and he messed them up and you got to do it again. But we don't think of it as something that you do every day. But the mitzvah and the Torah is a kshartim, so I would think.
Maybe because Rashi before that said that the Tefillin Shel Rosh is more chomer because of the kshira that it has. I mean, because of the kashra,
because of the
dal in the back, and
and the shin on the top.
So that could be already now it's the shin. It's the shin.
That's what gives it its extra kedusha. So maybe that's why I use that lashon. Okay, could be. Could very well be.
Maybe the change is the lashon in Rashi.
To what? Yeah, because I don't think he's changing. I think he's translating. You know, I think he's saying that's what it means. That the kshir over here means to put the tefillin on. First things first over here. Karen Ora raises an interesting question, and what makes it interesting is that his answer dovetails beautifully with the whole mahalich that Rav Soloveitchik develops. Karen Ora, source number two over here, tefillah shel yad osin shel rosh, shel rosh ein osin shel yad, umasik Rabbi Yossi mari b'chadeti, v'shamina meha, d'Rabbi Yochanan, d'mikdusha kala l'chamura osin. You're allowed to take something from a Kedusha Kala and make it a Kedusha Chamura, make it a more serious level of Kedusha. So you can take a Shal Yad, which is on a lower level of Kedusha, turn it into a Shal Rosh. That's perfectly fine. That the Gemara never had any doubts about. Frek the Karen Ora, Afal Gavdi Mitchila Haya Ha'ibud, Vahaksiva L'Shem Shal Yad. He says, but wait a second. When you were making this, you did the Ibud and the Ksiva to make it to a Shal Yad. What's Ibud? Yeah, preparing the hides, preparing the leather. So you were preparing the leather and the skin and the cloth. You did all of that, l'shem shel yad. You did the ksiva of the parashios, l'shem shel yad. So l'chashrin l'gabi rosh shalol l'shma. Why wouldn't we consider this shalol l'shma for the shalol rosh? So he's saying, we don't. He says, but I got a problem with that. V'kashali mizal mashakas b'shulchan aruch sim l'amin beis b'pshitus. Dim ibed l'shem mezuzah pasul tefillin. You prepare a cloth for mezuzah. You're not allowed to use that cloth for tefillin. Why? Because it's shalol l'shma. You need ibed l'shma for tefillin. So if you need ibed l'shma and you can't use a cloth that you prepared for mezuzah, you shouldn't be allowed to use for the shal rosh where you prepared for the shal for the shal yad. So why is this any different? V'kasav ken misvara. Shulchan Aruch says that misvara, that obviously, if you did the ibud l'shem mezuzah, that's called shalol l'shma l'gabi tefillin. K'mvor beis Yosef sham davik shalol l'shma, the mezuzah kedusha kala, u'tefillin kedusha chamura. Why is it called shalol l'shma? Because mezuzah is on a lower level of kedusha than tefillin. And any time you did an ibud for a lower level of kedusha, that's not called ibud l'shma for the higher level of kedusha. Well, the Gemara is explicit over here that a shal rosh is on a higher level of kedusha than a shal yad is. So, by the same logic, by the same svara that the Beis Yosef applies over there, from mezuzah to tefillin, that since it's kedusha kala to kedusha chamura, it's problematic. We should say the same thing over here. So from Shal Yad to Shal Rosh is from Kedusha Kala to Kedusha Chamura, and if the Ibud is only done for the Kedusha Kala, it's Shalol L'Shma. Ubaye Shlomer, the Tefillin Tzravayu Chad Mitzvahi. He says, yeah, even though we're using that same terminology, Kedusha Kala to Kedusha Chamura, but Tefillin is all one mitzvah. Shal Yad and Shal Rosh is all one mitzvah. And therefore, when you prepare something for a shal yad, it's not called shalol l'shma if you want to use it for the shal rosh, even though you made it l'shem shal yad. But mezuzah, that's a separate mitzvah. That's an independent mitzvah. And when you do something l'shem mezuzah, it's not called l'shma l'gabi tefillin. It's not on a high enough level of l'shma l'gabi tefillin. Now, difficult to understand. Because yes, I understand that Shal Yad and Shal Rosh are more intimately connected than mezuzah and tefillin are connected. I understand that. But why is it called Shalol L'Shma when I'm abed the cloth for mezuzah and then I want to use it for tefillin? Why is it called Shalol L'Shma? I did it l'shem mitzvah. Why is it Shalol L'Shma? Let me put it this way. Why does he not have a problem of Shalol L'Shma if I'm abed cloth l'shem tefillin and then I want to use it for mezuzah? Why would that be okay? That would be okay. That would not be a violation of Shalol L'Shma. That would be plenty L'Shma.
Yeah, the whole problem is that you're going from Kala to Chamura, so even when it's one mitzvah, it doesn't get rid of
the level of L'Shma is that you need L'Shem at least the level of Kedusha that you're going to use it for. So you need a high level of focus. You know that you're focusing L'Shem, a very high level of Kedusha. That's what it's about. It's not about whether it's one mitzvah, two mitzvahs, this mitzvah, that mitzvah. It's about having Kavana for a high enough level of Kedusha. And you don't have that if you're having kavanah l'shal yad and then you end up using it for shal rosh. It's not at a high enough level of kedusha. Why does the fact that shal yad and shal rosh are one mitzvah, assuming shal yad and shal rosh are one mitzvah, we'll invite Rabbi Sachs back to review that, but shal yad and shal, why is the shal, that shal yad and shal rosh are one mitzvah, why does that, what does it matter? It's a kedusha kala to kedusha chamur, and mele there's a chisarn in my lishma. So I think if we take a step back and look at Rav Soloveitchik's approach to this whole sugya, I think it will help. So this is in Siman Beis and Shira Agrid, and again I'll leave the sefer here over Shabbos. I'm not going to be here for Shabbos again, but I'll leave the sefer here over Shabbos. You have jam packed Shabbos, so a lot of Torah luminaries here for Shabbos. No matter what high school you went to, even TAVC Rebbeim would be here for Shabbos. Well, not no matter what high school. If you went to DRS or TAVC, not if you went anywhere else. The Rav Soloveitchik suggests the following. The Tur in Siman Chav Ches writes that when a person puts his tefillin away, you should put your tefillin away in a way that you're going to encounter the Shaliyad first. That when it comes time to put on tefillin next time, you'll first come into the Shaliyad before you touch the Shal Rosh. Right? Because if you touch the Shal Rosh first, it creates problems. Because Ein Mavir Na LaMitzvah, so if you have the Shal Rosh, you're not supposed to pass it up and go to put on the Shal Yad first, so you should set it up in a way that you encounter the Shal Yad first. Fine, and that's what we all do, or at least we make it in such a way where we remember that we always put the Shal Rosh on the right side, the Shal Yad on the left side, so we always know to stick right, or whichever side, it doesn't matter, but you always know that you always do it the same way. And it's super annoying when you lend your tefillin to somebody and they put it back backwards, right? We always know that you're supposed to, that you always keep it the same way. That's what the Torah says. Says the Bach in Siman Chav Ches that the best thing to do to avoid this problem of encountering the Shal Rosh first is Ya'ase Tik Echad Aruch. Make one long bag and put one on top of the other. And that way you can't dig down to the bottom before you pull out what's on top. And that way you'll always have the shal yad on top, and that would solve all the problems. That's what the Bach suggests. Any problems with that suggestion? And this is what people do. They have those, those plastic containers, right, that are, they don't have those. Right, so you put the shal rosh on the bottom, the shal yad on top of that. Right, that's what the Bach suggests. So what's the problem with it? You're putting a shal yad, which has less kedusha, on top of shal rosh, which has more kedusha. So Magen Avraham is the one that asks that kasha. Magen Avraham, Siman Chav Ches, Sif Katan Dal, did I put it in the Mar Makamos? Magen Avraham. Yeah. Magen Avraham raises that issue. You can't put shal yad on top of shal rosh, because it's like putting a nach on top of a Sefer Torah. And Megillah Daf Chav Zayin, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to put Nach on top of a Sefer Torah, because it has less Kedusha than the Sefer Torah. So Magen Avraham answers, Ve'efshar delo kapdinan el b'Torah u'b'Nevi'im. Maybe that Hakpada is only when it comes to Torah and Nevi'im. She'Torah Kedushasa chamura b'yoseh. Because the gap in Kedusha between Torah and Nevi'im is significant. Torah has a much higher level of Kedusha. But when it comes to other things with slight variations of Kedusha, you know, imagine if you have to like arrange all your Svarim in exactly what's more Kaddush than what. Let's see, is a Rambam more Kaddush than a Ramban? I don't know, it depends where my ancestors are from. Like, hey, you have to arrange everything in exactly one is more than a Radvaz, a Rishon, or an Akron, and I have to figure out exactly how to arrange everything. It's going to be impossible. So when you're dealing with small variations, after all, you could put ksuvim on neviim and neviim on ksuvim, even though avgavdein kedushas and shava, even though they don't have the same level of kedusha, neviim are more kadosh than ksuvim, and yet you're still allowed to put ksuvim on top of neviim. It's just saying not allowed to put nach on top of Torah, because Torah is Torah. Therefore, says the Magen Avraham, putting a shel yad on top of shel rosh is not a big deal. It's not like putting Nevi'im on top of Torah. It's like putting Ksuvim on top of Nevi'im. So it's not a big deal. So Soloveitchik says, I have two questions. First of all, why are you allowed to put Ksuvim on top of Nevi'im? Meaning, is it really a matter of degree? Is that the whole issue? It's a matter of when the gap is this big, so then we're not allowed to put one on top of the other. But when the gap is this big, how do you measure gap in Kedusha? What's the rule? You know, as a brisker, you need clear gedarin. It can't just be, oh, that feels really holy. You know, that seems, I don't know, it's not a, Kedusha's not quantifiable. That, you know, people ask Rabbi Storch in DRS, and you ask him anything, he answers with a number. You know, how are you feeling today? Six? You know, like, not everything is quantifiable. Not everything could be answered with a number. Right? So what does this mean? That because the gap is different, what does it mean? Second of Salvation says, if you're going to compare the difference of Kedusha and Tefillin between Tefillin Shel Rosh and Tefillin Shel Yad, why is it more like Nevi'im and Ksuvim and less like Nevi'im and Torah? I don't know, maybe Shel Rosh is much holier. What makes it that the comparison with Tefillin should be more like Nevi'im versus Ksuvim as opposed to Nevi'im versus Torah? So he says, to answer that, let's go back to our Gemara. What did our Gemara say? You made a Shel Rosh, but you haven't used it yet. As long as you haven't used it yet, you're allowed to be Morid Mikdushasa. You could turn it into a Shel Yad, and that's fine. As long as you haven't used it yet. So he says, well, I got two problems with this. When do the Parshios have Kedusha? At what point do the Parshios gain Kedusha? When you use it? That's when it's Kadosh? Are you allowed to bring it into the bathroom before you use it? No. When are you not allowed to bring it to the bathroom anymore? As soon as you wrote it. Yeah, you wrote the Parshios, you can't bring them into the bathroom anymore. They have Kedusha already. So doesn't it stand to reason that when they're originally granted Kedusha, they're given their full Kedusha? That it's not like in levels that the Kedusha goes from what? So if the Kedusha of Parshios exists as soon as they're written, so how can you be more in the Kedushasa just because you haven't used it yet? You made a Tefillin Shel Rosh with the four separate Parshios exactly the way Tefillin Shel Rosh, four separate Batim, exactly the way Tefillin Shel Rosh is supposed to be made. So why would you assume that it doesn't have Kedusha yet? And second, he says, why isn't there a din of Ibud L'Shem Shel Rosh and Ibud L'Shem Shel Yad? Meaning the Keren Oros Kasha. Why isn't it called Shalol L'Shma if you only did an Ibud L'Shem Shel Yad and then you want to use it for Shel Rosh? Apparently there's no such din of Ibud L'Shem specifically Shel Yad, but if there are on different levels of Kedusha, like the Keren Oros pointed out, by Tefillin versus Mezuzah, because one's Kedusha Kala, one's Kedusha Chamura, you need Ibud L'Shma of that one, so why don't we say the same thing by Tefillin? Now obviously there's Machlokas between the Beis Yosef and Reb Chaim, if you can use a cloth that had Ibud L'Shem Sefer Torah for Tefillin. Beis Yosef says yes, because it has more than enough Kedusha. Right? You made it L'Shem Sefer Torah. Now you want to use it for Tefillin. So you had super Lishma on it. You did Ibud L'Shem Sefer Torah. So of course you could use that cloth for Tefillin. Whereas Reb Chaim thought that, no, it's an inherently different Kedusha. That when you're dealing with two things that are different from each other, the Kedushas are just different from each other, so it was the wrong Lishma. It's not a matter of how much Lishma, it was the wrong kind of Lishma. Lemashal, if you're Ma'abed Klaf, L'Shem Mitzvahs Matzah, it's not going to help, because it's just the wrong Lishma. Or you make your Matzah Lishma, L'Shem Ksiva Sefer Torah, it's not going to help. Yeah, Ksiva Sefer Torah may be a very big deal and require a very high level of Lishma. But it needs to be Lishma of that, not Lishma of something else.
Who says there's not a concept of being, like, having it specifically for the Rosh and specifically for the Yad? If you read Rashi as Manamelsi, he doesn't say Ksiva Rosh, he says Zimna
Mitzorach HaRosh.
He doesn't say Dafka the Ksiva, he says the Tzorach HaRosh, meaning all encompassing. Anything the Rosh needs to get done.
Yeah, because the Gemara is saying you've already made it for a Shel Rosh, if you hold Hazmana Lav Milsa, and you've already made it for the Shel Rosh, right? You could
switch it to the.
You could still switch it to the
Shaliyah. It says dafka that you need it, but he doesn't say dafka d'ksiva. Rashi's not pointing out dafka d'ksiva that you need for the roach. He's saying everything you're going to need. So it seems like there is going to be a concept.
No, but you shouldn't be meaning, what are you suggesting?
Hazman is not just ksiva. It doesn't, meaning, there is a point in the beginning.
You prepared this whole thing for the Shalrosh, right?
Yeah, from the beginning.
Good, so, yeah, from the beginning.
No, so I'm just saying, so we already see a concept, of course, from this Rashi that, or I guess from the Gemara, that Hazman is not, it's not dafka ksiva, it's also for the.
No, because we don't possibly using it for, in the other direction, we don't possibly using it for the. Meaning, if you prepare something for the Shalyad, we don't possibly use it for the Shalrosh because it lacked the Shema, right, in the other direction. So, Soloveitchik says, in order to understand all of this, his two kashas on the Magen Avraham, and his two kashas on our Gemara, you need to understand the Yesod, and as you would expect, there are Tzvei Dinim over here. There are two Dinim, there are two different ways of formulating a difference of Kedusha. We use the same terminology, Kedusha Kala, Kedusha Chamura, but those words mean different things in different contexts. One din is what we'll call Kedushos Shonos, different Kedushos, and the other din we'll call Madregos Shonos, but also Kedusha. Different Madregos of the same Kedusha. Okay? So one we'll call different Kedushos, and the second we'll say, not different Kedusha, same Kedusha, but different Madregos of that Kedusha. So for example, different Kedushas, Tefillin, Sefer Torah, different Kedushas. They're two totally separate mitzvahs, two totally separate Chavtzah Shalmitzvah, different Kedushas. And that's where you're going to have a din, not to put one on top of the other. When you're dealing with things that have different Kedushas, not higher level, lower level, different Kedushas. So whichever of those Kedushas is the stronger one in the two different Kedushas, then you can't put one on top of the other. But when you're dealing with different Madregos of the same Kedusha, Shalrosh and Shalyad, then even though they're on different levels, one of them may be stronger than the other, but they're basically the same thing. It's like, you know, Lamashal, the Kuzari describes the different levels of Bria. That there's a domain, there's a tzomeach, there's a chai, and there's a medaber. Domain is like the shpender, it can't grow, it can't do it. Tzomeach is like a plant that grows and it's nourished. And bal chai lives and moves and eats, and, you know, like an animal. And then a medaber, a person is able to formulate thoughts and express them. And then the Kazari writes, on top of that, we have a Yisrael. A Jew is a different Madrega, and briskly used to say that there was another Madrega, Reb Chaim, that he wasn't just a different human being, he was a totally different category in his own right. That was they liked Reb Chaim a lot. But that's the difference. Meaning, there might be, you know, let's say Reb Shechter and us. So we're all human beings and we're all Jews. We're all in the same, we all have that same. We're in the same basic category. It's just that, you know, he's like on a higher level within the same category, maybe a much higher level. But it's not an issue of how big the gap is, right? No matter how big the gap is, it's a gap within a category. But when you're talking about two totally different categories, so you could have a category that's fundamentally a higher level category, a bal chai, my fish, is in a higher category than the fish tank. Right? It's just in a different category. So it's not a matter of degree. It's an entirely different category. Tefillin, Sefer Torah, different categories. Mezuzah, Tefillin, different categories. Shalyad, Shalrosh, same category, different level. So when the Magen Avraham says, when the Magen Avraham talks about being able to put Nevi'im on top of Ksuvim, but not Ksuvim atap Nevi'im, but not Nevi'im atap Sefer Torah, what he's trying to express is that Nevi'im and Ksuvim are same category, different degrees. Sefer Torah and Nevi'im, different categories. Kedusha Sefer Torah is fundamentally different than Nach, because it was given word to word, the way it was given is entirely different. It was given word for word to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, with an aspaklaria mi'ira, Moshe Rabbeinu was dictated the entire Torah, word for word. Nevi'im Ksuvim are different madrigals of the same Kedusha. It's not different Kedusha, it's different madrigals of the same Kedusha. Particularly, you know, this really opens up a whole other discussion, which is what distinguishes Nevi'im and Ksuvim. How do we decide what makes him into Nevi'im, what makes him into Ksuvim? What's the difference between them? So you have a Yetzer Hara to say it depends on the author, but we know that's not true. The Gemara Babasar tells us who authored each of the books of Tanakh, and some of the authors are the same in the Nevi'im and Ksuvim, so it can't depend on the author, right? Shlomo Melech wrote books of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So what do we do? How do we distinguish between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? One possible distinction is that Nevi'im were nitan lehe'omer, it was given to be said to the people at that time, and then afterwards to be written down for posterity. But it was meant, since it was a nevuah shel tzrucha ledoros. I mean, by definition, when a Navi got a nevuah, it was a message for the people. It was a message for the people at that time to address something that they were facing then. And there were millions of Nevi'im, according to Kiflaim, Kiyotzi Mitzrayim, according to Chazal. Lots and lots of Nevi'im, way more than we have written down. What did they choose to write down? Whatever was a nevuah shel tzrucha ledoros, that was going to be of value for future generations. Because there are certain things that aren't really of value for future generations, addressing a specific need in a specific time. You know, you would imagine that, if a Navi would have been told a few years ago to start telling Klal Yisrael about how evil the Shabbos app is on the phone or something, like, you know, in 100 years from now, they're not even going to know what we're talking about. In 10 years from now, they're not going to know what we're talking about. It will all be in our brain chips or whatever, I don't know. But then it's not Hutzucha L'doros. But when something is in the void, it's Hutzucha L'doros. So then it was not only said over, but it was written down as well. Ksuvim, as the name suggests, was never meant to be told over as a nevuah to that generation. It was meant to be written down directly. But the way it was perceived by those who wrote it, the way it was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and whatever level, through Ruach HaKodesh or nevuah, whatever it might be, from those who wrote it, may be the same. It may be that it was received in the same way. It's just a matter of being transmitted differently. So that's a slight variation of Madrega, but it's fundamentally the same thing. The Torah, the way it was received, is entirely different. Salvation thinks it's difficult to say, like the Mar Nevuchim, in the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that Nevuah was Alpi Nevuah and Ksuvim was only Alpi Ruach HaKodesh. That's how the Rambam writes Mar Nevuchim. That Nevi'im was Alpi Nevuah and Ksuvim was Alpi Ruach HaKodesh, which is a Madrega below Nevuah. Because he says, you know, there are passages that overlap. Shiras David is Shmuel Beis, Perich of Beis, and also Tilim Perich Yidchas. Same psukim, same words. Very hard to imagine that it was given twice, once with Nevuah and the other time with Ruach HaKodesh. Same words, it's the same thing. It just made it into both places. So it's hard to imagine that's the chiluk. So Salvage prefers to suggest that they were received from God, so to speak, in the same way, but how they're transmitted to the people is the difference. That's not a difference in their very nature, it's a difference in degree. That's what he wants to suggest. Torah, on the other hand, is fundamentally, entirely different. Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word, Vaspakaria Mi'ira, with a clear vision, no interpretation necessary on Moshe Rabbeinu's part. You know, the way a Navi got a Nevuah was he would see a vision. There are a lot of differences between Nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu, Nevuah, Shara, and Nevi'im. The Rambam goes through them. One of them is that a Navi had to be asleep, Moshe Rabbeinu was awake. But in terms of the Nevuah of the actual words of Torah, there was no interpretation on Moshe Rabbeinu's side. That's why this expression. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu gets punished so severely for a slight deviation, for the slightest deviation, because Torah has to be perfect. It has to be that it's the exact Dvar Hashem. And if Moshe Rabbeinu could be allowed to get away with getting something slightly off, then who's to say what else might be slightly off? So he can't get away with anything being slightly off. Whereas Nevuah, a Navi sees a vision, he's supposed to interpret that vision, and is then supposed to express that vision in the best way he knows how. All the words of the Nevi'im are the words of the Nevi'im themselves, not the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The words of Torah are the words of Hashem. The Ramban writes in the Saktama to this parish on Torah, that call the Torah Kula, Shemos of Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can be Mitztari for the Osios in different ways, and they have meaning, because it's all Shem Hashem. The letters, the words. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests in his Mavot to Sefer Emes Liyakov that if you open up a Chumash and you just start reading and you don't understand a word that you're reading, you're being Mekayim the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah on some level. You do that with the Navi, you're being Mekayim nothing. Because the only part of the Navi that comes from Hashem is the ideas. The words are the Navi's words, not Hashem's words. It's the Navi's words trying to explain what he saw in his vision. Fundamentally different. That's how Rav Shach quotes that the Maril Diskin explains the big Nisayon HaAkedah. They ask the Kasha, what's the big Nisayon of the Akedah? After all, you know, no one wants to kill their kid, but if God says, hi, I'm the all-powerful being, and I can, wipe out all of humanity in an instant, now kill your son, you don't really have much of a choice. You know, most of us would do it, because you don't have much of a choice. It's God. So Maral Diskin explained, no, Avram didn't have a Nevuah like Moshe Rabbeinu, he had an Avram Nevuah. He had a regular Nevuah. Regular, whatever that means. He saw a vision, and he had to interpret what it meant. The godless of Avram Avinu was that he had the integrity to interpret it accurately. As opposed to, you know, normally when there's a human bias in something, we'll interpret everything to fit our bias. You know, when you're learning with the Chavrusa and like you're convinced that something is pshat, and then he brings you like 10 rayas that you're absolutely wrong? So you'll hold the Sefer sideways and read it upside down in order to show that you're right. Because your bias will misinterpret everything. So that was the integrity of Avraham Avinu, that he didn't have that bias, that he was able to interpret the Nevuah. But it's a fundamentally different story when you're talking about Torah versus Nevi'im Ksuvim. So that's what Soloveitchik suggests. Well, he doesn't add all those details, but that's what he suggests. That when it comes to Torah versus Nevi'im Ksuvim, Magen Avraham says you're not allowed to put Nevi'im Ksuvim on top of Torah, not because different degrees of the same Kedusha, entirely different Kedushos. You're allowed to put a Ksuvim on top of a Nevi'im, different degrees of the same Kedusha. And the same is true, Tefillin Shel Yad, Tefillin Shel Rosh. It's like Nevi'im Ksuvim, because they're the same, they're both Tefillin, just different degrees of the same Kedusha. Now, whether this is correct or not, may relate, definitely does relate, to how you're going to understand what makes Shel Rosh more Kadosh than a Shel Yad. Meaning there are five different shittos of Shon. We're going to have to see what that is. What makes a Shel Rosh more Kaddosh than a Shel Yad? It could be that, depending on how you interpret what makes Shel Rosh more Kaddosh than a Shel Yad, you may want to be more inclined to say that they're totally different, Kedusha Shonos, or that they're, no, the same Kedusha, just different Madregos. Rav Soloveitchik points out that the Nedvi Yehuda, Madura Tinyana Yaradeya, Simon Kufay and David, was asked about taking a brand new Sefer Torah that hadn't been used, and turning it into Tefillin. And the Shoel in the Nodav Yehuda, it's always tricky when you're dealing with the Shoel, because you had to be a big, you had to be the Nodav Yehuda to write. It's not even true. I was about to say you had to be the Nodav Yehuda to write Tshuvas in the Nodav Yehuda. In Madura Tinyana, half the Tshuvas are from his son. But okay, you had to be somebody. To ask a question, you could be anybody. So, like when you're dealing with a svara of a shoel, you don't have to have the reverence necessarily. You don't know who the shoel was. Rav Moshe wrote a lot of tshuvas, some to big, big talmidei chachamim, and some to morons, you know, who just happened to have asked Rav Moshe a shoel, and some to every, you know, to people of all different madrigals in between. So, to be a shoel is not a big deal. I remember when I was in MTA, there was a classmate of mine, his last name was Landau. Nodav Yehuda was Landau. So this guy, I didn't know who Nodav Yehuda was at the time. This guy was, he was a little bit of a messed up kid, and he said, my great-great-great-grandfather was the Gadol Adar. My great-great-grandfather was also one of the Gadol Adar. My great-grandfather was a great rabbi. My grandfather was a rabbi. My father's an Orthodox Jew. He held himself to be the living raya if you read the Sedevas. He's probably learning the Kailul in Eretz Yisrael now. I don't know where that guy is. Anyway, so the Shaul in the Nadav Yehuda, wanted to suggest that when it comes to taking a Sefer Torah that hadn't been used, making it into tefillin, he tries to say that it's okay to do that because our Gemara says you're allowed to take a Shal Rosh to a Shal Yad if it hadn't been used yet. As long as you didn't use it yet, it's okay. Assuming Hasman Alav Milsa. Right? As long as it's Bechadati. So he says, so as long as he didn't use the Sefer Torah for Kriya Satorah, Mela, it's going to be okay to turn it into whatever you want to turn it into, as long as, you know, to Kedusha Kala. Because its Kedusha is not cemented yet until you actually use it. That's what you see from our Gemara. Says Rav Salvechik, based on my insight, Rav Salvechik says, this is incorrect. Why? Why is it incorrect? Our Gemara was talking about taking Tefillin Shel Rosh and turning it to Tefillin Shel Yad. What's that? That's different Madrigos of the same Kedusha. That you can do if you haven't used it yet. But to take a Sefer Torah and to turn it into a different Kedusha, into Tefillin, that's two totally different Kedushas. That you're not allowed to do. You could also argue, by the way, that his whole cheshbon is off for a different reason. The reason to assume that the kedusha of the tefillin is only cemented when you wear the tefillin, what's the reason to make that assumption, that it's only really concretized when you wear the tefillin? Because wearing the tefillin is the mitzvah of tefillin. Right? The mitzvah is wearing the tefillin. So once you do the mitzvah, now it's really tefillin. Now it's really a shel rosh, because you've actually used it for the mitzvah. What's the mitzvah of Sefer Torah? There's only one mitzvah d'oraisa of Sefer Torah, and that's ksiva Sefer Torah. There's a very early mitzvah d'rabanan of kriyas haTorah, but it's a mitzvah d'rabanan. It's very hard to say that kriyas haTorah is what's going to give the Sefer Torah its kedusha. The kedusha Sefer Torah is a din d'oraisa. So probably its kedusha, its status of kedusha, is finalized and is absolutely complete once you've actually completed ksiva sefer Torah. So the cheshbon is probably off anyway. But Rav Salvechik is just saying another reason why the cheshbon of the shoel seems to be off. Let's just quickly run through. What makes Tefillin Shel Rosh more holy than Tefillin Shel Yad? And let's see if it fits with Rav Salvechik. Okay? Five basic shitos. Rashi. What does Rashi say? What makes Tefillin Shel Rosh more holy than Tefillin Shel Yad? The Shin and the Dalet. Two out of the three of the letters of the Shem Hashem that are, you know, planted in the picture of Tefillin. You know, it's like can you find it? But are the Shin and the Dalet. The Shin on the sides of the bottom, those are easy to spot. The Dalet, depending on which type of knot you have in the back of your head, may be easier or more difficult to spot. And some have the square knot. Oh, it's two Dalets that way and that way. It's a little harder to spot. I think that was the other one, the other minhag that Rav Salvechik told people to change. It was the knot. And that was from his father. Moshe Salvechik told people to change their minhag. On that, but that's a different story for a different time. So Rashi, two out of three letters of Shem Hashem, that's what gives it its kedusha. Tosos and Aflam and Hayim Beis says that the Ritzuos are not Osios Gemuros. The way you shape the Ritzuos, that's really a letter. No, Ksav means that you have ink on top of cloth. You know, that's a Ksav. That you form a Ritzua into the shape of a letter, that's not a real Ksav. And Nafkamina would be, by the way, whether the Ritzuos are Tashmishe Kedusha or Kedusha Atzma. Kedusha Atzma is the actual Ksav Shel Torah. Tashmishe Kedusha is that which is connected to the Ksav Shel Torah. The mantle on the Sefer Torah is Tashmishe Kedusha. But the actual Sefer Torah with the writing is Kedusha Atzma. So what's the Ritzuos? If you say like Rashi, the Ritzuos could be Kedusha Atzma because they actually form the letters of Shem Hashem. Whereas Tosfos say, no, it's Tashmishe Kedusha. Does this fit Rav Soloveitchik? Not sure. Right? What's the difference between Shalyan and Shalrosh? It may be that it's not just a level of Madrega, it's that it's the Ritzuos are Kadosh. But certainly it brings the Ritzuos into the picture, and the Batim. That the Batim and the Ritzuos are part of the Kedusha. Whereas the Batim and the Ritzuos of Shalyan are not part of the, well, I guess the Ritzuos are. I'm not sure. Not sure exactly how to fit this one in. Rashi also writes that Shalrosh is special because V'yaru Mimeka applies to the Shalrosh. The Gemara is going to say that when they see the Tilin Shalrosh, nations will, then they're going to fear us. So that fits very well. It's just a matter of what's more impressive, but, you know, fundamentally the Shalyan and the Shalrosh, Shalyan and the Shalrosh are the same. And Mukhe Yosef suggests that it's just the number of Batim. They have four Batim in the Shalrosh, and God willing we'll talk about that Sunday a little bit, what that means exactly, and how that's made. You ever see tefillin being made? Ever do like a Chabad workshop or something? For some reason, Chabad is the only one that like actually teaches people how things are made. But it's okay, so we'll talk about that a little. So there's four batim as opposed to one bias. Also, that sounds like a numbers game. That sounds like a matter of degree. That seems to fit Rav Soloveitchik fairly well. Shagasarye in the Tshuva says that the shin is halach l'moshe misina. So there's an extra halach l'moshe misinai that the Shalrosh has that the Shalyad doesn't. What does Tosfos say? Let's see that Tosfos again. On the hand of days. Maybe. Because Pirish Bekuntros. He says the shin also?
I'm saying, he just says the Shalosh. I don't know if he like said
right.
He just says
the Shalosh
don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same thing.
And Yaakov Dorlin's Mesugas are. No, that's it later on. Yeah, it's not so clear. He does mention that the Shin is Halachal Moshe Misina, but not so clear that that's what distinguishes it. And the Piskei Arid just says, well, the head is a more chashuva place than the arm. You know, you talk about a vital person loses an arm, he could still live. You lose your head, can't live. That's Rabbi Tendler's Raya to brain death. He had a video of himself cutting off, or someone cutting off the head of a goat and keeping the goat hooked out into a life support machine. And they kept the heart beating for like hours after they cut off the head. So he said, you see, everyone agrees when you decapitate someone that they're dead, and yet just because they could be kept on life support, doesn't mean that's it. That was one of his rayas for brain death being death. But okay, but again, that's also a different sugya. But the head is the more chashuva place. So yeah, it seems most of these do fit. Meaning most of these are about degree. The only one you can take issue with is the two out of the three letters of the Shem Hashem. And maybe that's not just a matter of degree, but maybe that's the an elevated. An entirely different type of kedusha, but it seems that that most of them fit Rav Soloveitchik's idea very, very well. Okay, so the only things we didn't get to are the aseh do chalos aseh discussion, and the idea of when something can no longer be used for the kedusha chamura, can you then use it for a kedusha kala? Oh, and also writing the Shalrosh before the Shalyad or vice versa. So maybe we'll start with that next time, and we'll also finish up whatever there is on Lamed Aleph and Beis to discuss. And then, God willing, on Monday, we'll move on to Lamed Hei Aleph and other halachas.